Good morning, everybody. Another lovely dry day. Our service this morning will be led by Tim Lee. Once again, many thanks for coming back. For those interested, the chantry choir and harpists from Birmingham Conservatory are performing at Christ Church, Dumbleton Avenue, Leicester, on Saturday, May the 13th at 4 o'clock. Price is £15. Admission is by ticket only, but includes high tea. Right. Please, once again, talking about stomachs. Please remember next Sunday's coronation lunch after the service. So bring your own and a bit more as well to share. Okay. Sue Rogers and David have moved to Poole in Dorset. And it's good morning and welcome to those listening online. But last but not least, a very large welcome back to Betty. And Sylvia. Sorry, Sylvia. I'm sorry. I'll now hand over to you, Tim.
Thanks, Roger. If you'd like to just take a seat for a moment. You have to get your exercises in this morning, so I'll get you to stand up again in a minute. We're still in the season of Easter, according to the church calendar. I had to look that up because I didn't actually know. So, we're still in the season of Easter. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the danger is that we celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And then it just seems as though, well, let's get on with the rest of the year. So, unapologetically, I've chosen Easter hymns. Because, as our Methodists' brothers and sisters would say, Christians are an Easter people. We're going to spend some time this morning reading in one of the post-resurrection accounts in John's Gospel, right back at the very end of the Gospel, some of the events that took place after Jesus had started to appear to a whole bunch of disciples, and they were there trying to work out, excuse my French, what the heck was going on? Because they didn't have the hindsight of 2,000 years of history and of tradition. They were literally working it out as they went along. Let's stand and sing together this morning our first song, He Has Risen.
As risen, Now, about an hour ago, this was still on the allotment, so it is fresh. So if I hold this up and like this, what do you say to me? Yes. And if I hold this up, what do you say to me? Rhubarb, yes. And if I say to this, hold this up, and you say to me, rhubarb, yeah. There is a saying, isn't there, that says, rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. And it usually means nonsense. So I have a theory. Thomas, who we're going to be looking at, who I think in about the 4th century the church started to call him doubting, which was a little unfair, because he doesn't mention that he was doubting at all. I think when he got to the disciples and discovered for the first time that they were saying that Jesus was coming back from the dead, what he said was, rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. And it's John who has taken it and reflected on it and theologized about it, and it's come out slightly differently. There is rhubarb available, fresh, at the end of the service. If you want to come and help yourself, please do so. But it just got me thinking. When was the last time somebody told you a story or narrated a series of events at the end of which you just simply said, rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb? Or you might have said, that's incredible. Or you might have said, I just don't believe you. You know, Leicester City escaping relegation one season and the next season winning the Premiership. You're what? It brought hope to so many people. A Tory peer admitting that they've got it wrong without them having to be investigated and resigning on the spot. Substitute any other flavour of political persuasion in there that you like. Water companies stopping dumping raw sewage into the seas and the rivers. Dead people coming back to life. Do you see what I mean? How would you respond to incredible events? Are you sceptical? Are you happy to take what it is that somebody says as, and it's interesting, isn't it? We use the word gospel. Do you keep your mouth shut? Roll your eyes, disappear off quietly and ignore it completely? Or are you maybe one of those people who kind of thinks to yourself, do you know what? I'm just not sure that's true. And within 5 minutes of you exiting the room, you've got this fandangled thing out and you're searching on Google to find out whether it's true or not. How do you deal with events or things or stories that you just think to yourself, nah, it's just not possible? Just turn a moment to somebody close by you and just answer the simple question. If you were Thomas and the disciples had came to you and said, we've seen the Lord, he is risen, what would you have done? Turn and talk to a neighbour. Okay, just hold on to that. I'm not going to ask you to share it with anybody else or to share it with the rest of us. All I want you to do is just hold on to that, okay, for when we come to read our Bible reading. And what is it that you, what is it that happens to you as you as we read that? We're going to pray as we continue our service together this morning. So if you would like to join me in this prayer, I'm going to read a couple of prayers from a really helpful book by David Adam called Tides and Seasons. Let's pray. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together at the end of these prayers. Then let this day be a day of glory to you. The glory of Bethlehem, you coming to earth. The glory of Cana, you sharing in mirth. The glory of Galilee, you bringing of calm. The glory of Bethesda, you saving from harm. The glory of Calvary, your sacrificial love. The glory of Easter, your rising above. The glory of Ascension, your presence to see. Let this day be a day of glory to you. Lord, lift us up. Lift our eyes to the horizons, that we may see your glory. When the mist rises from the sea, when the waves creep upon the shore, when the rack lifts up the strand, I have seen the Lord. When the sun awakens the day, when the road winds on its way, when the fields are sweet with hay, I have seen the Lord. When the stars shine in the sky, where the streets so peaceful lie, when the darkness is so nigh, I have seen the Lord. The Lord is here. The Lord is there. The Lord is everywhere. The Lord is high. The Lord is low. The Lord is on the path you go. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our stewards will now wait upon us for our offering.
Let's just say a prayer, shall we, for these gifts. Father, we thank you for these gifts, for the givers of these gifts. Bless the givers. Bless these gifts, that they might grow your kingdom in this place and all over the world. Amen.
So we're going to do the Bible reading in a slightly different way to normal. Okay? So I've got a copy of the Bible reading on here, on this piece of paper. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand these out. And what I'd like you to do is just get together in groups of two or three. And we're going to read the Bible story together. Okay? And then there are some questions. Now, these are the questions that I'm asking. They might not be the questions that you're asking, and that's okay, okay? So all what I'd like you to do is to have a conversation. There are five questions. That's way too many. You won't get enough time to answer them. This is not a quiz, okay? You don't have to answer them all. The first question is probably the one that I would like you to think about the most, which is very, very easy, because it's, what do you find interesting about this passage? Okay, so that's not difficult. So I'm just going to come and hand these out, because you might like to look at the questions before you get going. Not in 20. In 20. It's the, we're in John 20. If we pass couple of those along, yeah, if you want to pass. Has everyone got one? You guys on the front row. Okay, so just have a look at the quick questions, okay? We're reading from... Oh, very good. John chapter 20. I'm sure it said two earlier.
Okay, so just if you want to follow it, or you just want to just listen and close your eyes... You might like to just consider, the first question is, what do you find interesting about the passage? Okay, what do you find interesting about the passage? So, starting to read John chapter 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." And he said, but he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting
and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Okay, off you go. See you later. Yes.
What's interesting about that? Yeah. Yep. Watch it. And why? Why does he say, peace be with you, so many times? Yeah. So, who are the other people who say peace be with you? You have to go to the other end of the Gospels. So you have to go look in. So in the birth narratives, it's usually angels who say peace be with you. Because for exactly the reason... Yeah.
And that, and they're
not the angels, they're not the
beautiful
females. Yeah, and I think that's you know, this whole thing about us, you know, sitting 2,000 years later with all of the Christian tradition is actually we miss, you know, what the flipping heck is going on here?
The writer of the passage is trying to say Jesus is God. There's like a lot of working out.
I don't think that's the main thing of this passage. Yep, could well be, yeah. Thank you. Okay, anybody, you could carry on talking about this passage for days, because it's a really interesting passage. But I'm just, anybody answered the question, you know, what did you find interesting about this passage? Anybody be prepared to say into the microphone, thank you.
That Thomas didn't categorically refuse to believe. He only believed. He just wanted evidence to believe.
Brilliant.
Aye.
Yeah. Brilliant. Great. Thank you. He was one of those people who wanted to go off and find a bit more. Yeah. He'd have got his phone out, wouldn't he? Yeah.
We were wondering, where was Thomas at that time? If Jesus wanted to appear to all the disciples, he would have arranged it that they were all there. So did he have an ulterior motive that would cause Thomas to doubt, and that would lead into a sort of a sermon, in fact, that in the future people won't actually see Jesus, but they have the faith to believe in him?
I'm out of a job here. Brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic. Isn't that great? So, did Thomas exist? Yes. But what's happened is the way that John has placed this and organised this invites us into the story. Exactly what you've just, you know, you've just done. It kind of like it draws you in and you think, oh, what the heck's going on here? Thank you. Anybody else? That was interesting, the prof. I'm allowed to call him that. He was my professor.
The thing that I find interesting is that what Jesus says is receive the Holy Spirit.
Oh, now, so what do you think's going on there?
It's an advance notice of what's going to happen in Acts.
Yeah, and don't mean to be funny, but John wasn't the person who then wrote Acts, was he? So, what's going on there then? Because if you're like, well, did John and Luke know each other? Cracking question. I love it when, if you like, you end up with more questions. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody got any thoughts on the peace be with you? How many times? Three times, yeah, okay. Any thoughts on why is it? Oh, Father.
It's probably like us saying, hello, good morning, how are you?
Okay, yeah, that could
good,
be...
Good evening, it's a greeting.
It's a greeting, okay. Who else used that greeting? Yeah. It's not a quiz. So I find it really interesting. The other people who use this greeting are at the other end of the narrative, because it's the angels. Any time in the gospel, so if somebody comes up to you and says, peace be with you, just watch out, okay? Because they might be an angel. But there's something, because if you think yourself back into this position, there is this person who you have seen crucified in the most horrible way. The Romans knew how to do that. They were professionals, completely and utterly. They wouldn't have taken him down if he was not dead. And then you have these reports. The disciples saying that Jesus is alive. You're joking. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. And it's Thomas who, you know, we've already heard, he looks for more information. He wants more things to know. Is this possible? Is this true? It seemed to be true for Thomas. What about you? Do you believe in this resurrection? Are these events actually what happened? Or is it John just making up a fanciful story? Okay. Anything else that just struck you from this passage? Thank you.
What would have happened if he'd made that appearance to people who didn't believe in him? Now, if he suddenly walked into a room of people who didn't believe him, didn't know anything about it, what would have happened if he'd walked into a room like that? Have you got any theories on that one?
Well, you see, I do think people have seen the risen Lord outside of these events. It's clear that there were lots of events reported.
You didn't rely on that event solely?
No, there were lots of multiple events about this, and that's why I included the bit at the end of John's Gospel. But yeah, it's a cracking question. And this whole thing about peace be with you. You know, when you're trying to confront something that is literally world-changing, the most natural thing in the world for somebody to say to you is, it's okay, peace be with you. This is possible. And I find that, yeah, really interesting. Tom's moving on. Sorry if I didn't get the chance to talk to you. Take the bits of paper home. Spend more time having a look and exploring this particular passage and about what it might do for you. We're going to stand stand if you are able to and sing a song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. So these were my answers to the question,
What did I find interesting about this passage? Number one, how did Jesus get into a room with all the doors locked? It's a perfectly legitimate question. They were scared. Their leader had been crucified. All of them had run away, let's face it. And here they were, cowering in a room with all the doors locked for fear of their own lives. And Jesus walks in. You remember Peter's denial three times of not knowing Jesus. And he keeps coming back. Thank the Lord for that, hey? C.S. Lewis, in his little book, The Great Divorce, tells the story of a group of people who make a journey to heaven on a bus. Like you do. When they arrive and step off the bus, the ground they walk on hurts their feet. Lewis seems to be suggesting that heaven or the kingdom is more real than creation. Just think about that for a moment. This is not as real as the kingdom of heaven is. That is why Jesus was able to walk through the walls, because the walls were not as solid as Jesus in his resurrected state. Wow. There is something more real than the earth and the creation. And it is the kingdom which Jesus ushered in. When everything else is gone, that is what will stand. More real. And our only experience is of standing on this. But I love C.S. Lewis's explanation. That Jesus was more real, and the kingdom of heaven is more real than the creation in which we live now. So that was the first one. Second one is verse 22, and he breathed on the disciples. You don't need to answer this question. It is completely rhetorical. Remind you of any other passages in the Bible? I go all the way back to the beginning and to Genesis chapter 2. When God created man, breathed into his nostrils, and the clay lived. John sees this act by Jesus as an act of recreation. It's about breathing the new covenant. All that Jesus had been talking about, all that he had been doing, it is about breathing this new covenant onto those disciples so that they might do the things that he did, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this, you know, it's like it's an animation. It's like we thought it was real before, but when Jesus does this, it's like, again, it becomes more real. And the Jewish brain at this point in time, which is all the disciples standing in the room, would have been wondering what the heck is going on here. Because in their mind's eye, the only person who can command the Spirit is Yahweh, God. And what they discover here is Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, repeating the very action of God in Genesis chapter 2 over this group of people at this time. What is God doing? Remaking the covenant. And as you journey through the rest of the Acts of the Apostles, you begin to see that the new covenant is established with all heaven and with all earth and with all peoples. And the third thing, finally, it's Thomas, those words, my master and my God. That's the first time in John's Gospel that anybody has called Jesus God. And again, in Jewish mindsets, they would have just been going, you can't say that. And yet he does. This is the first time. Thomas, it seems, is not as daft or doubting as we might expect. And that it's okay to go and find out more information. It's okay to want to explore more. It's okay. But when push comes to shove, it seems to me that being baffled about the person of Jesus is perfectly okay. But it's what you do with it. What you do with that bafflement, with that head scratching, with that wonder, with that sense of curiosity. Where does it lead you to? And does it lead you to uttering the same words that Thomas uttered? My master, my God. Can you say those words? Sorry? Oh my word. But in this particular way and the way that John presents it, John is saying Thomas knew who Jesus was. Lord, Saviour, Bread of Life, Word of Life, Fountain of Life. All of those I ams in John's Gospel. The great doubter, Thomas, is saying, there. That's him. Let's just add a moment, shall we? If you'd just like to bow your heads in prayer, and if you would like to close your eyes, and I'll ask you to do that on purpose. And if you like, I just want to ask if there are any of you for whom those words of Thomas, of my master and my Lord, my God, might be the first time. Or you might want to reaffirm those words. So just quietly, between you and God now, recommit. Or maybe commit for the first time. Lord, in your mercy, hear all of our prayers. Amen. Before Roger comes up and leads our prayers of intercession, we're going to sing from The Squalor of a Borrowed Stable. The group are going to come up and lead us. Thank you.
Let us pray. Ever-loving Lord, you in your infinite wisdom gave us this beautiful and bountiful world, and we have treated it shamefully. With conflict on the edge of Europe, possible conflict in Asia, and the real shadow of nuclear conflict in Asia. Lord, lead us to believe that as normal people, our faith can make a real and sustained difference. Not just that Ukraine can retain its independence, but that post-conflict there can be a truly real peace between the two populations, Russia and Ukraine. Lord, let us believe that knowledgeable people can influence Japan not to release 3 million tons of nuclear contaminated water into the Sea of Japan. Lord, let us believe that sane voices can reduce the tensions in the Middle East and bring peace. Lord, lead us to believe that members of the UN can keep peace between the two warring parties in the Sudan and bring peace. Lord, lead us to believe that Haiti can return to being a peaceful nation. Lord, lead us to believe that world opinion can halt the destruction of the forests of the world, not just in South America, but through Asia and Russia as well. Lord, lead us to believe that we can halt the plastic and chemical pollution of the seas, and the North Atlantic killer whales can breed successfully again. Amen.
Thank you, Roger. We bring our service together to a close with the song When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you want to come and join us stay behind for a drink, they'll be served at the back, and you'd be more than welcome to stay. Let's stand and sing together if you are able to. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you. Let's say the grace together, shall we? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.